Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 7. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see, and what follows. Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 7. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 32 through the 14th verse of Hebrews 12. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine, the articles 13, 14, and 15. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 32 and the first 14 verses of Hebrews 12. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in light in fight, turned to flight to armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that they which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Thus far the scripture reading. From the Canons of Dort, which you can find on page 114 in the back of the Psalter, from the fifth head of doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, the articles 13, 14, and 15. Article 13. And neither does renewed confidence of persevering produce licentiousness or a disregard to piety and those who are recovered from backsliding, but it renders them much more careful and solicitous to continue in the ways of the Lord, which he hath ordained, that they who walk therein may maintain an assurance of persevering, lest by abusing his fatherly kindness, a God should turn away his gracious countenance from them to behold, which is to the godly dearer than life, the withdrawing whereof is more bitter than death, and they in consequence hereof should follow into more grievous torments of conscience. Article 14. And as it hath pleased God, by the preaching of the gospel, to begin this work of grace in us, so he preserves, continues, and perfects it by the hearing and reading of his word, by meditation thereon, and by the exhortations, threatenings, and promises thereof, as well as by the use of the sacraments. Article 15. The carnal mind is unable to comprehend this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and the certainty thereof, which God hath most abundantly revealed in his word for the glory of his name and the consolation of pious souls, and which he impresses upon the hearts of the faithful. Satan abhors it. The world ridicules it. The ignorant and hypocrite abuse, and heretics oppose it. But the spouse of Christ hath always most tenderly loved and constantly defended it as an inestimable treasure, and God, against whom neither counsel nor strength can prevail, will dispose her to continue this conduct to the end. Now, to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Daniel Van Ray, who underwent surgery on Tuesday and returned home yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, how good thou art unto us and our children. And may it please thee to grant a deep impression thereof in this hour, that we may become small, humble, unworthy, with the consideration of what we deserve, because our sins are manifold, and we are such an unthankful people that we take so much for granted, especially thy common mercies, which thou showers upon us from day to day, and even for thy special mercies, that they can make so little impression. And to that end we humbly ask thee, wilt thou be mindful of us in this evening hour, and work by thy Spirit, by the first time and by renewal. Then it behooves us to thank thee for the many blessings which thou hast granted in this week. Thou hast granted gentle showers. Thou hast kept from great storms. Thou granteth warmth and sunshine. Lord, wilt thou do the same in thy house? The showers of thy Spirit, and that the Son of Righteousness may shine. Thou hast promised it. Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Lord, 'tis the work of the Spirit to make room for that Son. We humbly ask thee for a blessing upon thy word. 'Tis a week of preparation. The Holy Supper hopes to be administered the midst of the congregation on this coming Lord's Day. And then we are called to examine each of our hearts, because for the Holy Supper, then we need a wedding garment that has been merited by thee, nothing of man added, a wedding garment that is given and that may be put on by the arms of faith, a wedding garment concerning justification and sanctification. And then it is needful that thy holy word may be our guide, that the Spirit may be our teacher, and that by thy grace, and that by the first time and by renewal, we have become teachable. Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that desire of thee, that thou may take them by heart and by hand, that thou may lead them, that thou may guide them, that thou may draw them, where thou hast said, do this in remembrance of me. And then it concerns a saving knowledge given by the Spirit concerning the dear Son of God. And then it hath pleased the King to institute the sacrament that their faith may be strengthened concerning the faith in the Son of God and their lives more holy. Lord, do remember the unconverted. How wilt thou use it? May they also be given to examine themselves and be given to see their state. Without God, without Christ, without hope, no garment to cover them, where they stand as naked sinners before an all-knowing God. Lord, then in this day thou hast given that our Christian school, that it may come to a close. An Ebenezer may be erected. Give humble hearts given to think upon all thy help that thou wast spared. The blessings are manifold. Give acknowledging hearts for traveling mercies, for the instructors and for the students, but also a day of examination that students are called to examine whether the opening of thy holy word was truly a blessing for their souls. Then thou was granted in this week that many students were called upon to write their exams, hoping that they have been helped out and helped through. There are still a few exams that need to be written in this coming week. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help, and wilt thou watch over us the summer months above all things. Wilt thou keep us from the vain things of the world. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. We commend unto thee all the temporal needs. A mother underwent surgery, allowed and privileged to return to her home. We ask thee that thou may grant further healing and further strengthening, and above all, where thou art speaking in a special way, may this calling be used in thy hand for the saving of souls. May it be sanctified. Wilt thou remember her together with her dear husband and the children. We commend unto thee all the afflicted ones under the physician's care in special ways. Many fears, many concerns, appointments for the future. Do grant a place at thy footstool. where they may tell thee everything humbly asking, when it may be in thy will, that the means may be blessed, and above all for the salvation of souls. We remember all the mourning ones amongst us. Remember all the elderly ones, the handicapped ones, the crosses and burdens. Wilt thou bless the family circles? We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Open thy testimony. Grant the liberty of the Spirit. May thy word go forth with power divine. May it be a special and unforgettable service. Thou knowest thou that each and every one has come up to thy house in this evening. Oh, may there have been beggars begging for a little light, for a little instruction, a token of thy favor, and for those further leadings, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And thou wast promised that beggars, that thou shalt not forget them, that thou shalt remember them. May that be experienced in this hour, then it shall be a good hour indeed. And may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy name and the glory, the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 92, the stanzas 1, 5, and 7. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life, the spear confront the enemy. And what follows, Psalter 92, the stanzas 1, 5, and 7. in this evening hour, oh, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Hebrews 12, the second verse, the first part. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our text words speak of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then with four thoughts, in the first place, encouraged by a cloud of witnesses, whereon the Lord's the evening, we have not spoken of those words. Secondly, concerning justification. Thirdly, concerning sanctification. And in the fourth place, concerning providence. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, encouraged by a cloud of witnesses concerning justification, concerning sanctification, and concerning providence. Beloved congregation, we have heard on the Lord's Day evening of the exhortations that have been given to the church, where there were many troubles and where there was persecution. And then we have heard when the apostle declares, let us lay aside every weight, that a distinction needs to be made, because then it is clearly implied in the first verse that there are many weights which the Lord in His providence places upon the life of His people. Of course, also weights which they bring upon themselves, because further then there is admonished, let us run with patience. If there were no weights, then that patience would not be necessary. Thus what the apostle is declaring to the church, those weights, and then also what an examination in the life of the true people of God concerning those weights. Oh, there can be times that a soul thinks, if there were not so many weights, a mother in the busyness of the family, a father concerning his daily bread, our young people and the children, it can be multiplied out. If I did not have those weights, then I would be more prosperous spiritually. But underlying it can even be a murmuring against the providence of the Lord, where the Lord has given each duties and responsibilities upon the earth to fulfill. But now when the apostle is warning against weights, then we may speak of an intemperate and immoderate striving after the goods of this world, and also the use thereof. And then we are speaking of lawful things, because I read in 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, that the Lord granteth many blessings liberally to enjoy, and to make it clear for our boys and girls, the Lord's the evening, and then we have mentioned a man that has accidentally killed a friend. We read in Deuteronomy of two men that were chopping wood, and then of course we have a responsibility. It was the responsibility of that man to see that the head of the axe was firmly fastened to the handle of the axe. But then it is possible that during their labors it has come loose, and that he has killed his friend. And then it was the responsibility in those days before the courts were set up that a near kinsman, that he would execute justice. And then we have told you that for such a man that was running for his life, our boys and girls can understand it, that it would not be profitable for such a man to carry a bag of gold, because that would hinder him, that would be a weight that he would need to lay aside. But now if such a man, that he has taken a jug, and in Bible times they did not have jugs, but sometime that city of refuge was at a great distance, and when such a man, when he would take a bottle of water, that would be a certain weight that would slow him down a little bit. But that is not included in our text. Or another example, if that man had a certain sickness that he could not run as fast as he would desire, and we would tell such a man that he had to lay aside that weight of sickness, that would not be right. Thus then we understand in our text, and that is also an examination in a week of preparation. And the Lord has a people, and I hope the unconverted also struggle with it. Oh, all the timely things. Then we are not speaking of sinful things, unlawful things, but we are speaking of lawful things that often perhaps we think, what are we so busy with? Because I have a soul that needs to be saved by the grace of God. Then we see the necessity concerning our weights, that it brings us oftentimes at the throne of grace, and that we are given to humbly ask that those weights may not be detrimental, but that those weights may be profitable, more on our knees, more dependent upon the Lord. But then we have heard that in verse 1, not only to lay aside every weight that is detrimental for spiritual life, and we have to remember we are not angels. We are under the consequence of sin. What a weariness, a tiredness, how overwhelmed we can be with all the things of daily life, our duties, our responsibility. And now it is necessary for the true child of God, because it is in the context of looking unto Jesus. And to look unto Jesus, then we need to know him. But then we have left the question, Lord's Day evening, what we must understand and the sin which does so easily beset us. You thought about it. People of God, what do you have trouble with? Do you not have trouble? It's a very bad sign. Because the true church is a militant church. And they have that warfare against that triple-headed enemy, the sin which does so easily beset us. Can be different things. Let us mention a few. In the first place, unbelief. That is the greatest sin. And it is the work of the Spirit to uncover his people to the greatness of that sin. Oh, it is true. There can be times when the Lord comes over so clearly, so sweetly, and so powerful, answers prayer, fulfills his word, grants further teachings, that at the beginning they tell the Lord, "Now, Lord, I shall always simply trust, because thou hast confirmed it in such a remarkable way." But the true child of God learns what a great sin that unbelief is. We read of a father in Mark 9 with that boy that was greatly afflicted, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The disciples of Christ have prayed in Luke 17, verse 5, "Lord, increase our faith." There is a nominal Christendom. Seems they can always believe. Not so troubled. J.C. Philpott, he has written in a certain place, and he was deeply exercised in the things of the Lord. When you have people that can always believe, then you must place a very big question mark behind it. But if you also have souls that can never believe, the same question mark. The church is in the context of looking unto Jesus, the sin which does so easily beset us. Are there other things, people of God, other sins which does so easily beset us? Let us mention that old man, that flesh. Because that flesh remains flesh, needs to be mortified. That is that spiritual warfare in the life of the true child of God. Let us mention pride, closely connected with self-righteousness. Adding a little for our salvation. The church needs to learn. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then let us add a bosom sin. For the one it is this sin, for another it is that sin, but a sin that they are inclined to. And then the apostle admonished the church, and the sin which thus so easily beset us. And now what does the church need to learn? Looking unto Jesus. There can be much striving in our own strength, but then it shall all fail. And the Spirit, tis the work of the Spirit to lead poor sinners to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, and concerning those weights and the sin which does so easily beset us. Oh, then Jesus Christ, in his threefold office, as prophet, priest, and king, how necessary and precious. And now to encourage the church, because verse 1, wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, then the Lord in his great goodness has given us his holy word concerning the saints, the way that the Lord leads his people. And then in Hebrews 11, called the heroes of faith, tis it, as it were, boys and girls, a showcase where those examples are portrayed that the church may receive instruction and encouragement, many of them, and then a child of God concerning their trials, their strife, promises, prayers. Then the one is given to identify with one hero of faith, another more with another, but they are all given for instruction. They even tell us that on the Olympics, the Greek Olympics, beside that racetrack, sometime they have placed statues of runners that have ran before with a prize in their hand to encourage those runners. And so the apostle is given to write to the Hebrews, to the living church, that they may be given to look upon those that have went before, and that it is by faith, because in Hebrews 11 we read faith mentioned 24 times, that the church may be given to look upon them. And concerning the trials, oh, let us mention a few. We have read it out of Hebrews 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Oh, for a church that receives a promise, not taken, but received it, embraced by faith, and how it can be tried. Oh, think of an Abram, concerning this Isaac, concerning the seed. Stop the mouths of lions. No, we do not live in a country that Christians are cast before the lions. But the devil is called a lion, and the true church, they know what a lion that devil is. Then further, then we read, quench the violence of fire, Oh, the fires of temptations. And so we could continue. And out of weakness were made strong. Thus for the strengthening do we not read in Romans 15 verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. But now the apostle has not stopped with those witnesses, because all those witnesses, and oh, now they are in heaven. They have obtained the crown. Paul has written to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Hence is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give unto me in that day, and to all that love his appearing. Thus the apostle with those witnesses is given to encourage the church, point to those witnesses, but not the end. Because all those witnesses, they have received it from above. And in the Old Testament we have heard it, the promise of the coming of the Messiah would be in the future, but they had the same faith as the New Testament church. And then the apostle, then he is given to speak and admonish the church, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then that word our, that is in italics. And then boys and girls, you know that it has been added by the translators. But when we read looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, then we must speak of two matters. Then the apostle is also given to hold before the church that they must look unto Jesus in the first place as the example for their faith, and in the second place, the worker of their faith. And now when we consider Jesus also was exercised faith in the promises and the help which the Father has given and promised unto him. Thus when the church may look at Jesus as their example, then in the first place, then through faith, that is in dependency upon the Lord, and how Jesus continually has spoken that he was the Son of the Father and the work which the Father has given him to do. Then in the second place, then Jesus was given to exercise that perfect trust in his heavenly Father. Have you ever thought about a congregation? If Jesus had one thought of unbelief concerning his Father's mission, his Father's work, and his Father's reward, then it would be eternally lost for the whole church. Thus looking unto Jesus as the example and the exercise of faith and true faith, that includes prayer, Do we not read in Mark 1 verse 35 that Jesus alone, secret place, a praying? Then in the fourth place, true saving faith, that is an act of faith, and that also is revealed in the way of obedience. Oh, Jesus is perfect obedience. John 4 verse 34, that it was the will, it was his will to do the will of his Father, which had sent him. Then in the fifth place, faith, that is a faith of submission. And in the sixth place, a faith of thanks and praise. Oh, think of the high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our second thought concerning justification, and now concerning our text words. Then we have heard profound things from the canons of Dort concerning the perseverance of the saints, that lieth so sure in the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But now for the church, and therefore the apostles, when we read the epistles, then what solemn warnings are given to the church to examine themselves and to be steadfast in Philippians 2 verse 12, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's the calling of the church. And then in verse 13, the perseverance of the saints, because it is the will of God that you may do his good pleasure. And now the Lord has a people. Oh, they know it so well. And what a comfort it is that the Lord is the author and finisher of faith. And the true people of God, they are given to examine their hearts oftentimes whether that was a true beginning. Because if the beginning is not right, if the beginning is a self, some convictions, some emotions, but not wrought by the Spirit, then it shall not be finished. Oh, what an example in the Scripture. If you think in Hebrews 6, the verses 4, 5, and 6, how those truth-seeking souls can be troubled with those texts. Tasted of heavenly things, enlightened, and yet not the true work of God. And to that end, the author and the finisher of faith. And now that word author, that has a broader meaning than just the beginning. Because that word also refers to a captain, to a prince, to a leader, that is the promoter and the worker of a beginning. And to that end, in Hebrews 2 verse 10, There we read, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain, and that is the same word as author in our text, the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Thus, when we consider that word author, the beginning of grace, then it is reference to a prince, to a captain. Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto us a son is given, a child is born, and the government is upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Thus that speaks of a mighty prince that begins that work of free and sovereign grace by word and spirit in the heart of sinners. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then when we read our text and when we read of that mighty prince, that Prince of Peace that begins that good work and that shall also finish that work, ah, that declares there is hope. And then it is so needful that we place ourselves faithfully where that Prince of Peace is promised to work in a special way. And that is in his house, that is by the opening of the scriptures. Ah, when we consider the scriptures, then there are those that have went so far astray. But, O Almighty Grace, there is no one that can resist the grace of an Almighty God. And now when we considered in the second place concerning justification, then also concerning that word looking, that in the Greek language, that does not only mean to gaze, to stare, but that also implies that we look away from something. And now Jesus, whose name means Savior because he has come to save his people from their sins, then he makes a beginning in the heart of a sinner. And what is now needful? Matthew 9, verse 12. They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, declared in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, to make room for that precious Savior. And Savior means, young people, you know it, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Has that not taken place? There's no beginning, shall not be a finishing. But now to examine whether there has been a beginning. Oh, then I hear a soul say, oh, that is my question so often. If I now was only assured that the beginning, oh, there are times they believe it, when the Lord comes over with his love, with his tokens, with the word, then they may be given to believe it so surely. But that true faith, because do not think, congregation, when the devil loses his subject, that the devil will just stand at the side. Oh, he becomes as an angry lion, trying to regain his prey, and how that people can be assaulted. and how they can be troubled. Because the Spirit teaches what they are and what they remain after all their tears and reformation. Thus, what a question. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? But if there now may be a resting on a beginning, what then? If a soul may now rest on a beginning, and they remain resting, then we may also put a question mark behind it. And the Lord is free. The one he leads more quicker than another. But for a true soul, then a beginning does not satisfy justice and does not forgive their sins. And now the church is exercised with all the attributes of the Lord. And their sins, such a burden, and if it is right not to rest in that knowledge, what would we think of someone that feels sick, goes to the doctor, diagnosed with a serious disease, and he rests with that knowledge? It is not right. Oh, it is the Spirit's work to glorify the dear Son of God as the way back to the Father. Thus now he is the author, that is the beginner, but as a mighty prince. Because what a work the Lord has. A sinner that is an enemy of God, of free and sovereign grace, and we can still sit in church. But oh, that pride, the depth of our fall. Romans 8, verse 7. Carnal mind is enmity against God. Oh, to be saved all by free and sovereign grace. Oh, our text words. Then how our text words condemn free willers. Because then the point is, what is now the beginning cause of the salvation of man? Is that now the free will of man? Or is it the work of the Spirit that inclines that heart to seek and to fear the Lord? It is written in our text, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, that could also be translated as the perfecter. And now the work of the Spirit is concerning that faith, to bring such a soul to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, that he learned to know him in his necessity, in his suitability, and in his preciousness. Oh, the psalmist has declared in Psalm 45, verse 2, that he is fairer than the children of men, and that grace is poured out upon his lips. And now the exhortation, the church not only to experience those wonderful works, but to come to a saving knowledge. Oh, they shall experience the essence, the exercise of faith, and by the author of faith, to be brought to the object of faith, and that is the dear Son of God. And to that end, the apostle exhorts the church, looking unto Jesus. And concerning the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. That implies a saving, revealed knowledge. And then such a soul needs eyes and needs light. And then it is also needful, it's all by the Spirit, for souls to receive a certain knowledge and also at the table to be enabled and to be given by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit with the broken bread and the poured out wine to look unto Jesus. We have many examples of that looking. Think of Numbers 21. Let us add, when the apostle exhorts to look, he does not say that the church is enabled of themselves. It is their calling, their duty. But no place in God's word does it say that the church can of themselves believe and look, and that the church learns. But now concerning that looking, let us first sing. Psalter 429, stanza 4. O Lord, though I walk mid trouble sore, Thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. Though angry foes my soul alarm, Thy mighty arm will save and cheer it. And what follows, 429, the fourth stanza. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We read in Revelations 1 verse 8, that it was declared unto John on the island of Patmos, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That, boys and girls, that is the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And therein lies declared also in our text. That includes everything, all aspects that lie in between. Oh, what a comforting word in our text. And now what is now necessary, that we are taught by the Spirit. And then sometime the question can be, how deep does that knowledge need to be? Then the Spirit teaches, because the Lord, the Spirit, extols that free and sovereign grace. Then it is the work of the Spirit to make room for that perfect Savior. And then the Spirit shall bring a sinner to a place. Romans 3 verse 19, their mouth stopped, guilty, and by the works of the law, no flesh can or shall be justified, that it becomes forever hopeless from their side, that they need a way outside of themselves. And now looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, and to be given to behold that priestly office, Christ, in his high priestly prayer, in John 17 verse 4, I have glorified thee upon the earth, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And the sixth crossword, what is it, boys and girls? It is finished. And to that end, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, concerning that looking, think of Numbers 21. A murmuring people, a sinful people in the wilderness, and the Lord has sent fiery serpents. They have bitten that people, young and old. You can picture it laying all on the ground, dying, coming faint and pale. And then the Lord is commanded to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And then whosoever was given to look, even a faint look, then they were healed. Oh, think of that precious text in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and none else. Are there souls that understand it? What it is to be at the ends of the earth. Oh, think of John 1, the verses 29 and 36. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Let us mention Zechariah 12, verse 10. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for an only son. Oh, to be given to look upon that precious Jesus by true saving faith. And now concerning that faith, then Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, then he has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And in our Heidelberg Catechism, answer number 81, for whom the Lord's Supper is instituted, all for that godly sorrow humbled over our sins, a saving faith in Jesus, a desire to walk according to his word, and then it speaks of a people that need, have a desire to have their faith strengthened, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But that concerns not only justification, but the true child. They need that precious Jesus also for sanctification. And when does that begin? That begins in the moment of regeneration. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance not to be repented of, and becomes evident. That godly sorrow that cannot remain hidden. And then we have a desire not to grieve the Lord and not to grieve and offend the church. Then God's word becomes our rule, although that people learn that they fall so far short. And how do they learn that? By slips and falls. There's more than a head knowledge. We can speak so reformed and piously. The Lord has a people each time by renewal. Oh, disappointed. Receive so many blessings, and then still such a sinner. Oh, Lord, how can it all go together? That people understand a Rebecca in Genesis 25, verse 22. With those twins, how am I thus? And then what a striving there can be in their own strength out of that love. But now it is also the Spirit's work in the way of sanctification, that they may be given to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And that sanctification, that is a blessing that has been merited by Christ. And what takes place? No, then we do not have to go to the Lord's Supper to tell the congregation that the Lord has begun that good work. Then becomes visible. And now it is in the context, wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And now when the Lord works that good work, then we also become a witness, even if it is only by our walk. And that is so needful in our day, that God's people, that close, that tender, dependent life. Oh, if you ask those souls, then they shall have many complaints. Nevertheless, I read in Acts 4, verse 13, when Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin, that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Oh, that's so necessary. Also for our children and our young people. Readable letters that can be seen. Not a question, but in their life. Walking Bibles, and that our children and our young people may be filled with a holy jealousy, that they may be given to see that is a blessed, a happy, a holy people, or that people shall not say it of themselves, but that is needful in the church. To arouse to a holy jealousy, not people that compromise. Half the world does not mean there's no falling into sin. And now that church, what a lesson to learn. In the way of sanctification, we have spoken the Lord's Day evening about Christ as prophet teaching his children. And now in justification, to be led to that priestly office, but the true child has also chosen him as king. They have enrolled so freely. They have begged the Lord whether they may be a soldier under that precious banner, and that with the gifts which the Lord has entrusted unto them, to be a good soldier, as Paul has admonished his son Timothy in his epistle. The author and finisher, justification, sanctification, but also in the way of providence. Because Christ has purchased his people, his bride, for body and for soul. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, when we read the heroes of faith, what a conflict, what an impossibilities. But the Lord has brought them through. And now, all those heroes, they are rejoicing before the throne, praising the Lord for his wonderful works, young and old. How is it with us? What have we learned of these things? Oh, when we consider the scriptures, we repeat it, my unconverted fellow travelers, almighty grace. Oh, do beg the Lord. Do seek the Lord. Tell him that you are unable, and the root of the matter, even unwilling, that you may all be taught, but that he may be that author. Have you asked for it in this evening? Boys and girls, young people, older ones, have you now asked to be converted, or have you forgotten? Or think it's not for me. Where's that in the Bible? Oh, that grace is so abundant, even for the chiefest of sinners, oh, young and old. Let us not deceive ourselves. Matters need to be experienced on the school of King Jesus. And the Spirit, he uncovers. He teaches what sinners we are, and he makes room for that precious Jesus. Oh, he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Then the exercises of the souls that go out after him, oh, desiring to hear, oh, looking unto Jesus, that can be multiplied, his person, his work, his willingness, his love, his names, and he is altogether precious. And now for the strengthening of that faith, then for the true people of God who have come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application. Oh, convert what is unconverted. And when we are building upon sandy foundations, uncovered, and wilt thou take thy people by heart and by hand, remember on the coming Lord's Day, grant tokens of thy favor, grant a prayer for one another, bring us safely to our dwellings, watch over us in the remainder of this week, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 386, and we shall only sing 3 and 4. When unto thee I look and pray, with lifted hands at close of day, then as the evening sacrifice, let my request accepted rise. And what follows, 386, only 3 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.